I've been teaching on the radio for about 40 years. I'm on shortwave radio. And I was out teaching the other night, and boy, I had, for several nights in a row, 2 or 3 hours at a shock, I got a chance to teach God's Word. Sometimes I just get on there and we just talk. But lately, I've had a tremendous opportunity to preach God's Word. And I have people from all over the world listening. I mean, they listen to me all the way in Europe. And I get cards from all over, from one end of this country to the other, South America and Europe and Alaska and wherever, you know, Hawaii. And I know there's somebody in Hawaii listening that night, and I know there was somebody all the way on the East Coast listening and in Alaska and everything. But people were asking questions. And I had one person, he was what we call a theistic evolutionist. And their idea is that some kind of a creator, and I've used this term before, Elohim, some type of a creator, that's what the term Elohim means, creator. All people believe in a creator, even evolutionists. They worship the creation itself. But he simply says that he didn't believe that God left any information in this world, nor did he want to communicate with the things that he had created. He just started them and turned them loose. That's not what the Bible teaches, is it? And what my emphasis kept being was that God did leave us a message. And he not only left us a message, he left us a detailed message of how he created everything in the book of Genesis. And, of course, it just scattered throughout the Bible. Even in the book of Revelation, it tells you why God created everything, didn't it? He tells you why he created it. Why did God create it? Why did he create everything? In the book of Revelation, it says, for his own good pleasure. All right. For his own good pleasure. Revelation 3 and 10. Now, how many of you have ever heard that the term rapture and millennium are not in the Bible? Huh? Raise your hand. Now, you can do that. All right. Well, I'm going to prove to you today that it is. At least one of them, the word rapture, is in the Bible. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. After we go through this, there's a lot. I hate to skip over this lightly. We're going to go faster after we get past the age of churches. Like I said, I'm going to bring in a video. You're going to see in a couple of weeks, you're going to see a video done by Zola Levitt. And then I've got another video also later to show you about creation. But someone turn and read Revelation 3 and 10 for me. Revelation 3 and 10. Have you got that, David?
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
All right. Now, what church is he talking to here? Do you remember?
Philadelphia.
The Church of Philadelphia. Now, you know, the Lord really doesn't have a whole lot of bad things to say about the Church of Philadelphia. What does the word Philadelphia mean?
Brotherly love.
Brotherly love. Now, Brother Walter, or Wally, was there not too long ago, weren't you?
Yeah, and I read this right from this Bible, right on the spot.
You read right from that Bible, right? Could you read the whole thing for me real quick?
I'd love to.
All right.
Just like I read it there.
All right.
And to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept my word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them and dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, and the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church.
All right. Thank you, brother. That's very, very good. Now go back to 3 and verse 10. Revelation 3 and verse 10. And by the way, if you don't have all the CDs or cassettes on this, see me after the class and I'll get them to you. We're going to be putting a bump on the website pretty soon, I think. All right. That's the book of Revelation, the ones on Revelation. Brother Randy is our audio man on our new website. Now, I'm going to bring out some things to you here in these verses that Brother Wally read. He said that, because you have kept the word of endurance. All right? The word endurance there is hypomone. That's the Greek word. It means to remain under the strain and remain true under the strain. Now, down through the ages, God's churches have remained true to His word, His true churches. Many have gone astray. We've come to the next church age. What is the next church age? What's the next one?
Laodicea.
We find that God has not any, very little good to say about the Laodicean church age. And by the way, that's the one we live in. All right? That's the one we live in. He said, because you have kept, and that word kept there in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we see that the churches, what are the churches supposed to do? Make disciples. And what do you do with the disciples? You teach them. You teach them those things which I have handed down to you, and teach them to guard with their lives that which I have entrusted to you. And that word, to keep, or to entrust, is for the word kereo. And that's what this word means right here. You kept the word of endurance in me, and I shall guard you, I shall keep you, and he uses the same term. I will guard you. Every good husband protects his wife. That's right. Every good husband protects his wife. Why? You do that because you love them. Okay? You protect them. And the Lord is going to protect His wife and His bride also. And He says He will. Out of the hour, He says, out of the hour of the tribulation. The word is tribulation there. Tribulation is great distress. It is the hour of trouble. But it is the word parismo, and it means tribulation. Out of the hour of tribulation about to come upon the inhabited world. The inhabited world. And then it says, to try the ones dwelling there upon the earth. Now, why is the tribulation period coming upon the earth? There's a reason for it.
The
first number one reason is to bring Israel back to God, because He's not finished with them yet. Now there's a group of people, and a large group of people, that teach a philosophy, and that's what we call a historicist and the symbolic. You know, there's four views of the interpretation of the book of Revelation, but they teach that God has absolutely finished with Israel. Now, that idea goes all the way back early in church history by a couple of heretics back in that time. One of them was Augustine. If you want to call him Augustine, that's fine, but I call him Augustine, all right? And he replaced Israel with the church. He said Israel was finished as far as God was concerned. He wanted every Jew destroyed. But you know, that's not what the Bible teaches. And this movie that I'm going to show you, when we get to the end of the church ages, because the tribulation period is coming upon Israel. Now, the first thing, God didn't want Israel destroyed. Why did Hitler in World War II try so hard to destroy Israel, the Jewish people? No, brother, that wasn't really it.
He followed
the teaching of Martin Luther. Martin Luther called for the extermination of the Jewish people. All right? Now, if he had done that, Brother Wally, yes, he would have called God a liar, because God has a place for them in the end time. If Hitler could have destroyed every Jew on the face of this earth, then the promises of God would be nullified, and God would have been overcome by Satan's devices, his methodas. All right? But he didn't. Now, so many people that... Now, where did Martin Luther get his theology? The Catholic Church. What was a great Catholic theologian? Everybody talks about St. Augustine, okay? He was a great theologian of that time. Well, they looked to him for all the answers, and one of the answers was replacement theology. He replaced Israel with the church. Now, yes, the church did replace Israel in this administration of the kingdom of God, but God is not finished with it. All right. The reason for the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God, and it's also for another reason. What's the other reason? To punish an unbelieving world. To punish an unbelieving world. One of the things, he's going to punish the unbelieving world for how they have handled themselves before the nation of Israel. Israel is his chosen nation. God has never had a nation besides Israel. That's the only nation that God has ever... You know, we pride ourselves in America as one nation under God, one nation established under God. Now, we're saying that. God didn't say it. Why, Islam today say, we're God's nation. And we say over here, we're God's nation. But God only has one nation. And that is Israel. And he's never changed his mind yet. That is his nation. And he's going to use them in the end time. Now I said, you have kept my word, you've guarded my word, and I am going to keep you from the hour of tribulation. Now, I'm going to give you some verses here to look up later, if you can write these down. And if you've got your syllabus now, you need to be back there in that syllabus writing these notes down, okay? Now, about the tribulation period. God's wrath is called orge in Greek, orge. It's like O-R-G-E. Something like that. All right? O-R-G-E. Orge. Now it says in Romans 5 and verse 9, Ephesians 5 and 6, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, Revelation 6 and 16 and 17, and 11 and 18, and 16 and verse 19, and 19 and verse 15 in Revelation. All of these places. Those of you who are getting the tapes are going to get all this down later, okay? All right. Well, I want someone to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 and 17 for me. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. By the way, I did a complete set of classes on 1 and 2 Thessalonians from Greek. All right? If you want those, you can get those word for word, even an interlinear to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And I went into this in great detail, especially back there when I went to 4, 16 and 4, 17 and through that area. If you want those, I have them. They are available. Even the workbook, the syllabus with it, the interlinear that I wrote, and all the classes on audio. All right. Who has 1 Thessalonians 4:17? Have you got it there? Brother, go ahead.
Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
All right.
Shall we always be with the Lord.
All right. Now, that was 17, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Read 16, brother, and then 17.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord.
That's the word right there. We shall be caught up. On your little book, how many of you have that little page out of the book that's written, printed out of a book that I have that was printed in 1766? All right. I'm out of them right now. That's all I have. Can I borrow yours? I don't even have one left, right? Okay, now right up at the top of this, on the right-hand side of that old book, it's old. You've seen this book, I believe, Brother Lee. It says rapture up there. All right? Now, people say that the word rapture is not in the Bible. I disagree with them 100% wholeheartedly. Because now if you go back, who read that 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17? Harold? Read that again there, 17.
Then we are alive and remain shall be caught up together.
All right, hold it right there. Caught up. Just take your pencil if you want to. You're not going to hurt that Bible. Just circle that word caught up there and put down raptured, because that's exactly what it means. And I can prove to you why it means that. All right? Raptured. All right. Now, where is harpage? There's another one that also is ruomeno. All right, is the other word. Now, this word harpage, now if you look down on this page right here, on the right-hand page, look down at the bottom of it. Now, it's Greek and Latin, okay? I know it's harder. But the Latin looks just like English. Okay, so that's easier. But right over here it says harpage. That's what that word is. It looks like a capital A, and then it's got a rough greeter on the front of it here, just like that, except it's got a capital A and harpage. Now, what does that word over there in Latin, what does that say? Anybody read that? Is it just like English?
Rapina.
All right, rapina. Now, the root... Okay, rapina. Now, the root of that is rapere in Latin. Okay? I'll give you a little bit more of it. Rapere. Now, our word rapture comes from the Latin rapere, so there we have the word rapture. Now, is the word rapture in the Bible?
Yes.
If you translate it correctly, it is in the Bible. Flat, there it is. I don't think I could prove it to you anymore. Let's look at it again. Harpazo, all right, is in the original language. The root of it, okay? Or harpage, the noun. All right, harpazo, the verb. The Latin equivalent of harpage, or harpazo, if you look on over here, you'll see all of it. Harpazo is right over there. If you look at it, it is rapina. The root of rapina is rapere, which our word rapture comes from. You can have this back now, brother. I'm finished with it. All right, but now you do have it. I'll try to get some more of those printed. My printer ran out of ink today, and that's why it was even printing not very well. It was supposed to be more brown than red. It didn't have any brown left in it or something. But anyway, we have harpage, we have rapina, we have rapere, and then we have the word rapture. So now, read that the way it should be correctly translated, Brother Harold.
Then we who are alive remain shall be raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
That's the correct translation of that, and I can tell you that I'm an expert on it. Okay? And I think I proved it, okay? Right here. It is rapture. Now, the word rapture is now in your Bible. Okay? Write it down there. Okay? Write it right in there where it's supposed to be, okay? Now, We look for that rapture any day. I don't know when it's going to take place. God gives us one day at a time. That's all He gives us. Matter of fact, 1 minute at a time. Because if you go and read these verses back in the book of Romans where I quoted, the book of Ephesians 5 and 6, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, Revelation 6, 16 and 17, all of these. Go back and read Romans 5 and 9 real quick. And then Ephesians 5 and 6. Let's go back and do that. Randy, are you in anywhere near any of those?
Not yet.
Okay. Romans 5 and 9, Ephesians 5 and 6. Who's got Romans 5 and 9? Who was fast? Brother John, go ahead.
5 and 9. Yep. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life.
All right. Now, we should act differently once we've been born again. That's exactly what it's saying there. We were once slaves to sin and slaves to aselgia, unbridled lust, and all the things that chain and enslave the world. You were enslaved to sin before you were saved. God set you free. Okay? Have you got the other one there, Brother Randy? The Ephesians 5 and 6? Nope. Didn't. Okay. Ephesians 5 and 6. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. He's doing our audio for us on the website now. He's doing a great job.
Let no one deceive you by empty words.
Ephesians 5 and 6.
Let no one deceive you by empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience.
All right. Now, we're studying the book of Ephesians on Wednesday night. We're talking about this. We're talking back over there. He gets in chapter 4, 5, and 6. He talks about the evil of this world and the one that is the father behind all of it. And he says that the wrath of God is coming upon the earth. Remember, I told you two reasons. Two reasons why the tribulation period has come on the earth. Number one, to bring Israel back to God. Number two, to justly torment those that have rejected Israel and rejected the gospel also from the church age. All right. Now let's go over to Revelation 3 and verse 11. He said, someone read 3 and 11 for me in any translation, doesn't matter. Brother,
behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown.
All right. Now he said, behold, take, is what he says here. I come suddenly. The rapture is going to take place suddenly. We're going to be caught up. I've said this before, but you know what a raptor is?
It's a bird of prey.
It's a bird of prey. Now, is a vulture a raptor?
No.
No. A vulture is not a raptor. Is a crow a raptor?
No.
No. Why? How about the California condor? Is it a raptor?
No.
No. You say, boy, these are... Yeah, I see that confusion in your eye. You know why they're not a raptor? Because they don't have claws to grab and snatch something away. The word rapture means to snatch away. And actually, the root of it, it means the marks of the raptor on the prey. The Lord is going to snatch us up out of this world and protect us from all of this evil that's coming upon the earth. When the Lord raptures His people, He's going to protect His bride, His love, His wife from all evil, and she's going to be in a party for 7 years. There's going to be a party in heaven for 7 years. She's going to be having a good time with her love. And upon this earth, hell is going to break loose. Just as plain as that. Because that's exactly, God's going to turn hell loose on this earth. That's what He's going to do. Now, suddenly He said, I come. And you continuously hold on with all your might what you have. What is this that you're supposed to hold on to? The truth. The doctrines of God's Word. The truth. All right, that you may receive a Stephanon, your crown. You may receive your crown, Stephanos. Now, in German, the word crown is Kranz, isn't it, brother?
Mm-hmm.
All right, see, I had that right. Could we have somebody there? It's fluent in German. And in Latin, it's corona. All right, crown, Kranz and corona. Now, this Stephanos here, this word, now there's another one in Greek for crown, is diadema. That's different. The Stephanos is a crown or reward or award that is given for a symbol of victory in the Roman Greek games or in a military battle, or there was a festive celebration, and this Stephanos was made of oak, ivory, parsley, or myrtle, or some type of flowers, roses, violets, whatever, and they put it on the head of someone. How long do you think that lasted? Huh? I try to do things for my wife that's nice, you know, because she, that way I tell her that I love her. I go out and get a rose and bring it in there and stick it by the sink there, where she's a lot, around the sink a lot, so she has this rose. All right? this rose. Well, the roses don't last very long. They wilter and they die and they crumble. Let me tell you something. How long are the rewards that God going to give to His bride going to last? We talked about that on Wednesday nights, the last few Wednesday nights. How long are they going to last, Sister Andy? You know?
Forever.
Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's how long they're going to last. It's going to be a whole lot better than this Stephanos that they put on a victor of some valiant deed that someone did. Now, this is not a diadema. A diadem. Have you ever heard of a diadem? All right. A diadem was a different word. Diadema. It means a crown that has been won by conquest. You can assume royal deity with a diadem. How many of you ever heard of Alexander the Great? Nebuchadnezzar. Cyrus the Great. Now these people, they earned diadems. And they would have a crown on their head, and the crown was most of the time it was, they had maybe a golden crown, or maybe it was just a crown made out of silk, or some beautiful garment. And then there were streamers coming down from that crown, different streamers coming down, in other words, ribbons. And every area that they conquered, there was a ribbon on that diadem. All right? That's a different word now. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is going to wear. He's the diadem. But His bride will have the Stephanos on her head. The Stephanos. All right? Rewards. And then in verse 12. Verse 12 now. Who's got Revelation 3 and verse 12?
Him that overcometh shall I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down.
Okay, hold on right there. Just 3:12. Okay, is that how much of that New Jerusalem? Okay, go ahead. The one coming down. Go ahead.
Coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name.
All right. Now, when I show you this picture here in a couple of weeks, this video of the temple area, you're going to see a priest there that has a box on his head. They wore a kind of like a diadem, all right, tied around their head, had a box on the front of it. You know what was on the front of that box? Huh? It was the name of God was on there. The name of God was on there. Now, Israel sloughed off. They crucified that person that was on that, the name of that person. That name up there is Jehovah, the name of God. What did they do with Jehovah when Jehovah became flesh and dwelt among them? Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 tells you exactly what they did to him. They murdered him. When Jesus walked into he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, by the way. Next time he comes to Israel, what's he going to be riding? A white horse. All right. A white horse. Now, among the American Indian people, the bravest warrior rode a white horse. Okay? The bravest warrior rode a white horse. And he rode into the village so they could see him and they know who the number one man was. That was the man to contend with. Now, when Jesus comes back to this earth, he came in first time riding on a donkey. But when he walked into his father's house, he said, when he walked into the temple area in Jerusalem, he was violent the first time. He was a little bit violent the first time. When Jesus rode the donkey into the city of Jerusalem and he went into the temple area, he went to work, didn't he? What did he do?
Took out a whip and scourged.
Well, he made the whip, it says. He made a whip and he beat the tar out of these people that were down there perverting the word and the truth of God. And he said, "You've made my house a den of robbers and thieves." Thieves and robbers. He said, "My house is a house of what? Prayer. My house is a prayer, a house of prayer and a worship. Now he went in there, and this was not a worldwide thing that he did at that time. He walked in there and he did take control. By the way, he took away the reins. He took away the administration of his kingdom from them right then, and he gave it to his little church that was following. Now, who was the king? Why did they try him? What did Israel say? What did the Jewish nation say to Pilate about Jesus?
He made himself to be God himself.
He made himself to be God, and he said he's our king. And we have no king but Caesar. Hogwash. They lied. They were totally hypocrites at that time. And what did Jesus say to them in the book of Matthew? Oh, ye hypocrites! Oh, ye hypocrites! Oh, ye actors! They did a lot of acting on that few days there, the last few days. They were mad. From the very time that he went in and took away the administration of the kingdom of Israel from them and took it back, they planned on what doing what to him? Murdering him. You know, a few years ago the Pope said that he took away the responsibility of murdering the Messiah and said, well, it was a Roman Empire. That's not true either. How many times did Pilate announce that Jesus was innocent? Five times. What's the number of five? In the grace. Five times he extended grace to Jesus. What did Israel do? Crucify him. We want to murder him. All right. The one conquering, I shall make him a pillar in the Naos, the dwelling place of God. God always wanted to dwell with his people. The reason for that temple in Jerusalem, originally it was where God wanted to be with his people. But when Jesus walked into that temple area, what did the administrators do to him? They wanted to murder the God of heaven. They wanted to murder the God of heaven. Well, now the Lord's people have the opportunity. What Israel left behind, we may pick up at this time. What did they leave behind? What did they leave behind when all they did was look at their own pride? I get real scared sometimes when churches also start talking in much pride. We are the Lord's people. We're only the Lord's people because He lets us be. But we need to wear the name of God, and the world needs to know who we are. We are the Lord's bride. We are the Lord's people. I did a funeral Friday. And you know, the funeral isn't for the person that died, it's for the people that are left behind. Well, in that funeral, I had to share the service with the military, which is all right. And I did a service, and then I had to share it with the Masonic Lodge. Well, the very first thing they did was move me plumb off the pulpit. They said, we're setting up there, you can sit wherever you want. Just like that. Just now, I mean, that's it. And where did they sit, Marilyn? Right up there behind the pulpit. And I was out there wherever I wanted to sit, okay? But I had a turn. It came my turn after the military, and they fired the it used to be the 21-gun salute and all of that, and they made took the flag, and because he was a veteran and everything, he was a sergeant in the Army Air Corps and did great service for his country. Then I got up there and I told him about his life, and at the very end of that I said, he's not finished with you yet, neither is God. Now I said, let me tell you the rest of the story. I said, I want to tell you the gospel. And I went to the book of Genesis. And I started out in Genesis 1. And Genesis 1 and 2, where the creation of God was destroyed. And then where God reconstructed it. And then in Genesis, the third chapter, where God had put man upon the earth to be the caretaker of it. And then he voluntarily let it back into the hands of Satan. But God didn't leave us alone then. He didn't leave us alone. He said, I'll come. I will come to her. And I will live a perfect life. And I will be the sacrifice, not only for a whole human race, but for the whole cosmos, the whole world. Everything God created, He bought it back in the person of Jesus Christ. Now we have the opportunity to tell the world that. The Jehovah Witnesses are out there telling about an angel coming down this earth and dying and going to a grave and staying there. I don't know what in the world happened to Michael, they said, but in the person, he died, and they put him in a grave, and that was it. Whatever happened to the body was in the grave, we don't know. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that God so loved the world that He came down to the earth. He gave His only begotten Son. God became flesh. And He gives us an opportunity to tell the world about how much God loved the world. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a person. He came Himself to die for us. He came Himself to die for us and to redeem us. It says here that the one conquering, I shall make him a pillar in my dwelling place. And he may go out, and I'll write upon him the name of God. God's going to write it. How many of you have a pet? Anybody have a pet? Dog, pet, cat, or anything?
Three of them.
Huh?
We have three of them.
Oh, you've got three of them. All right. Well, that's... You know, I've got nine cats. And I guess they have nine lives. But anyway, I've got nine of them. And three horses and a pig that's bigger than this room almost. And a lot of other animals out there that I take care of every day on the farm. But there is a thing that they encourage you to put in the animals, and it is identification, isn't it? It's a little strip they put in there that tells you who owns the dog and all that kind of stuff. A long time ago, they used to brand them. Racehorses had a number tattooed in their lip, inside their lip. And horses and cattle and slaves were branded. All right? Slaves were branded at one time. Even Hitler marked, tattooed the Jews in Germany. Didn't he? Remember the numbers they had tattooed on them? Now let me tell you a good story about branding. God is going to mark us. Matter of fact, He already marked us. He already branded us in eternity past for redemption. He branded us, marked to be redeemed. This is the one to be redeemed. This is mine. I paid for this person. We are the redeemed. We will have the brand of God on us. The mark of redemption. That won't be a bad brand to wear, will it? Brother Wally, that's a good tattoo, isn't it?
Yeah.
The tattoo of redemption. And the name of the city belonging to God, New Jerusalem, the one coming down out of heaven from God and me, and the name of me, the new name. All right. 3:13, let's go on there a little bit more, and we'll have to quit pretty soon. 3:13, Revelation 3:13. What does that say? Have you got that, Irma? Are you looking at it? You want to read? You too bashful? All right, you guys, all right. How about that husband of yours? Can he read?
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Right now, it is your responsibility from this day onward to do exactly the things that I just revealed to you today. Do you know that? You are responsible if you are lost. You are responsible for the message that you've heard today. And I think I told you how to be saved a little bit, to look to God. He came down and paid for your salvation. We talked earlier about repenting of our sin, how that we're enslaved to sin. You aren't having fun sinning out there. You are enslaved to it. Enslaved to it. Then God sets you free and marks you with redemption, with his brand. Well, you're responsible for this message. If you don't know the Lord, you are responsible. You will face God if you're not saved, and you will say, "Did you hear the gospel?" And he'll say, and you'll have to say, "Yes, I heard the gospel." What did you do with the gospel? Well, I didn't respond to the gospel. I didn't repent of my sins. I didn't call upon God to save my soul. Then, that person gets to go to hell, doesn't they? That's the worst place. Now, how about a child of God? A child of God that won't be obedient. Have you ever had a child that wasn't obedient? Do you know how it breaks your heart when your children are not obedient? Huh? Do you know how does it hurt when your child is disobedient and disrespectful to you? Now we can feel firsthand how God feels when we are not obedient to Him. You have heard the story of how that you can work in the administration of God's kingdom, haven't you? How that forever God will reward you if you follow Him. That reward is eternal. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? See, now you're responsible for that. This was not a good lesson today. It's a hard lesson, isn't it? Because it's a lesson of responsibility. Israel was responsible to God to preach the truth. They did not. And God took it away from them. There's one thing that you can lose in this world. You'll never lose salvation. Once you've been born again, you're saved forever. But I guarantee you can lose your rewards if you're not faithful to God. And you can be a pillar. It says a pillar. I'll make you a pillar in the temple of God. You can be. If you will give your life to God. And I'm going to ask you something, too. I'm going to say something to you. God never asks you to do something that is bad for you. It's always for your best interest. It's the best thing in the world for you to follow God. Thank you for your attention today. I'm going to turn this over to David, I guess, in a moment. I appreciate your attendance here. Pray for me as I prepare these messages for you. I try to, every one of them, I try to touch your hearts with God's Word. I try to educate you in the Word of God. And I try to give you ammunition to go out in the world. And I try to give you ammunition to overcome the world. And also to overcome sin that so heavily chains us. Well, thank you for your endurance.